Okay, welcome to A Course in Miracles. Hey, Jason, welcome.
Hi, Jason.
Hi.
So we have a fun couple of weeks coming up with this section that we're going to work. I don't know, they're all, some are more fun than others for sure, because, you know, some are kind of bad news where we're busting the ego and you have to admit how much harm that your continued dreaming of the separation of bodies does and is, and how horrible it is. We have whole sections that really are just trying to make you aware of how difficult you're making your own life. And that's because A Course in Miracles is not a course in doing something. It's a course in undoing. It's a spiritual path where you don't discover something. You know, like a lot of the other ones, you have to really study and you have to evolve and you have to really become something you're not in other paths. And they all work because of their intention, as the Course says. All paths work because of their intention. But A Course in Miracles is very different. It's really an undoing. It's really catching something that you think you like. This is your ego behavior. You think makes you safe. This is your body addiction and security that you believe will make you happy. It just has you look at it. And in looking at it, you go, wow, that's not sufficient for love and happiness and joy. In fact, I can't imagine how I got stuck on this whole idea of really trying so hard to be on my own. Another way to phrase the separation is an amazing effort to be alone. You know, you. It's like you, when you see in the mirror versus everything else, not just everybody else, everything else. You, this is a dream of the world, dream of the ego. You know your name. That's the handle versus everything else. Health, for example, are you fully in control of your health? Are you fully in control of your good night's sleep? Forget the neighbors and all the problems that come and go with all the people. There's all sorts of other stuff you just don't even think about. He says, well, of course I can't control the weather. I mean, who can? The victim state is required to continue to prove to yourself that you're alone. That's the ego state. It's not a mistake. It's, you know, it's what we designed this whole world so we could experience some really cool stuff that isn't part of A Course in Miracles to discuss, but it is. And it's becoming more and more clear to me what we're really doing here. And so this Course in Miracles, though, it isn't where you have to sprout some kind of spiritual wings and fly into heaven. That's not this book. I love it. It's so much more practical than you having to follow some other individual who wears some gossamer robe and speaks in very calm tones and wears leather shoes and never buttons their shirt. This is not A Course in Miracles. A Course in Miracles is an inside job where you undo. You'd have to know what to undo. That's what the book is for. That's what we're meeting tonight, to point out some undoing for sure. We always meet to do that. But the section we'll be looking at, if you can imbibe and if you can allow the book to work with you, with your mind, the section we're working for the next couple of weeks is it's an invitation. And nothing will happen to you, but it's an invitation for you to accept a power that is already in you, in your creation, that will help you with your freedom. for sure. And so it's like a antidote. A lot of times we have to discuss the drug that you're taking, but not for the next couple of weeks, really. We're really discussing the antidote, the power that you have in your own mind. Today, right now, to not just choose peace, but really feel it and experience it. You have this power. You all know you do because you've done it over and over here and there, even by accident. Sometimes in your lives, I hear these stories. You know, when the peace just comes over you and you're very grateful, but you're not sure exactly what you did to get it. You do have this power. You do have this power. And so let's take a few moments just to sit. And this is really a few moments for you to release your busy mind and to go into a state of trust. Trust in this book that you've been carrying around for years. You know, if you didn't know, I sent you an email, but Judith Scutch passed away on Tuesday morning. And she was the publisher of A Course in Miracles, ushered it out of the file cabinet in a couple psychologists' office and brought it to the world and printed 3 million copies. And so, you know, Judith was a smiling and a great energy, and we will now pick up her work in our own minds. She has helped bring this guide, printed guide, not some person, not some flavored person that you'd have to follow and listen to, but a written book that in my experience has more consistency than any human I've ever met. This is what I want you to trust tonight. I want you to trust your book. I want you to trust that what has been put in your lap, that has got your attention, it's got your path as well. It will take you for as any time you appeal to it and for as long as you do. Take a moment now and just fall into a state of trust. Now that Judith has passed, A Course in Miracles kind of moves into a document, you know. Now it's a bit institutionalized because no more big stories can come out. They seem to have all been told and they're all good. At least none of them are damning about A Course in Miracles. So in a way, with Judas goes the possibility for any salacious things to come out like everything else in this world. It's good news. It's in your hands. It's a good guide for me. It talks to my heart and my mind, and I really feel cared for. I trust this book with my return home. Your guide is waiting. Your guide is waiting. Inside now, receive A Course in Miracles with your trust. Now let's hear from your guide. Does anybody want to comment? Does anybody have a difficulty or a celebration about trusting A Course in Miracles you want to discuss before we jump in?
Well, celebration. I'm done too, I guess.
Good.
Because it felt, those words you used were, it felt absolutely right. I see the book lying around the house and I know I can go there anytime and it's going to help me. anytime I read any page, it's going to make me feel like I'm back where I want to be.
What a gift. Mm-hmm. I don't even have any friends I can count on to do that.
You're right.
Sometimes you know, call them up and you find out, oh my God, what happened to your cat? What happened to your job? Mm-hmm. But the book is always waiting to go one direction. Yeah.
My daughter's almost that way, but not quite.
What do you got, Don? I got your mute.
Well, I'll go along with Luann for a moment. I can't say that's true for me, that I can open any page at any time. It varies sometimes with the page and also, of course, where my mind seems to be at. But so this week I was out of town. I don't know. I don't think I was able to come on Thursday night. Mm-hmm. I was out of town. But an interesting thing occurred on Thursday. You know, I was in a little cafe, and I was eating, and there was something about the dish that was unexpected. It was kind of a breakfast dish, and it had some onions in it, which I didn't expect and wouldn't have wanted had I known they were there. So I got halfway through it, and there were some onions in it, and I thought, okay, well, I cleaned them off, I ate, and then I thought, at the end, I thought of a nice way to tell the waitress how she probably be good if she warned people that there's onions in this dish. You know? And so she brought me my check, and I wrote and I said I was going to tell her. I'd kind of figured out a nice way to tell her. And instead, what came to my mind was never correct a brother. Mm-hmm. It just came to my mind. Mm-hmm. And so I just followed that guidance. Mm. And then when she left, I just felt this incredible sense of peace.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a kind of a banal, if yep. you will, circumstance.
Yep.
Much harder to pull off in more long-lasting, unholy relationships. But
this is practice.
Anyway, so there's that. So, huh? Yeah, practice.
It's practice.
So something happened today. I actually tuned into a Zoom, a Course in Miracles Zoom meeting earlier today, and I came down to the kitchen, and my wife's making dinner and stuff, and I pitched in and did stuff, and I noticed I was feeling angry. And at some point, I kind of stepped back, and things eased up. Then at another point, something she said, it's just stupid, innocuous stuff. And I got really, really angry. And it just, so it's not what I'd like, and certainly not what she'd like. Mm-hmm. But so it boggles my mind. It's like I would guess, you know, I could put words to it. My ego just reacts to having just gotten this kind of clear water on the mm-hmm. Zoom mm-hmm. session. Mm-hmm. And then the hard part is the self-recrimination that I then engage in around having behaved in a way that was probably scary to her, at least, you know. Mm-hmm. I just throwing it out there, you know, it's discouraging.
Yeah. You know, as you do your Course in Miracles work and you progress, one of the things will happen eventually, if it hasn't already, it's this. Your wife will say, wow, Don, I'm surprised you're not angry. She's going to say that one day. She's going to say, Don, you know, I got to tell you, I don't know what you're doing, but this is one of the kinds of things that really would have set you off in the past. She's been with you enough years that she's quite aware of the kind of situations where you go off. One day, it will happen. That will be an opportunity for you to say, your work is paying off.
Yeah.
You are taking control. And that you recognize that every single time you got off the handle angry, it was what you call your ego, which is not your heart.
No.
It's not your intent, and it holds nothing you would keep, the ego. all the arguments, all the times you raise your voice, all the times that there's essentially it was panic. Every time that happened, you could say gladly, it's nothing you would keep. And this is a way to communicate with her and give her a wonderful sense of hope. At the same time, you will be making a verbal commitment.
Yeah.
To continue to choose peace and freedom. But boy, you know, that's what this book is for, is to be able to catch your ego at the ego ignition point. If you let the ego burn, even for a few moments, it's probably too late to stop it. But if you're doing your coursework and you really are following these lessons, they will evoke during the day as you do the coursework. It will evoke you to look at yourself at just the right time to make you aware of your ignition point, your triggers, your triggering, what it feels like. As I've said before, and I don't mind saying it again, and ask me to remind you what I said, if this makes any sense to you, and that's this. You need to catch the ego at a quicker interval, Don. All of us. If you find yourself upset or unhappy, and you wish you weren't feeling so angry, lonely, tired, worthless, guilty, etc. Remember, especially it was something way in the past. If you find yourself there, think, oh, I forgot to choose. And my ego is running its program. Of course, you quicker and quicker. The duration of your upset gets shorter with Course in Miracles, yes? Has everybody experienced that by now? You don't stay upset for 3, 4, 5, a week anymore, right? Doesn't happen anymore. You still get upset. You still go out of control, but not for as long as maybe before Course in Miracles. I hope that, hopefully you come to that ability and it continues to get shorter and shorter. And I just watched myself. I used to make notes, you know, my progress. And I would just, because I was a manager in a high-tech company and I had 5 or 6 employees and all sorts of stuff would come up. And, you know, budget issues, everything that happens to everybody in lives. And I recognized that my upset and worry would just get shorter and shorter. And I continued to work it and work it. And now I still see the upset. Things happen in my life and I go, whoa. But it stays down here. It stays in the world. It stays in my body. And it doesn't manifest. It doesn't go to my brain, get worried about, increase in my body, for my brain to think about more because the body feels worse and the brain now puts a whole bunch of huge meaning. It doesn't happen anymore. I still am sensitive to everything that an ego would be sensitive to, but I found a way not to feed it. Course in Miracles has helped me. Even when I have a physical injury, and I had a really tough one 2 days ago, I won't give you the gory details. It was really kind of horrible. I'm going to be fine, but wow, the pain. I was going to go turn around and go straight to a drugstore and get Tylenol or something because I felt like I was going to have an emetic reaction if I didn't lower the pain somehow. And it was really amazing. But you know what? I continued to remind myself, wait a minute, this is the experience of the body. And immediately the suffering would go down. Even though I was throbbing, I was holding it above my heart and everything, trying to keep the throbbing down. But when I did my coursework on it, that's when I got my relief. Oh, this is an experience of the body. And I thought, I don't need the Tylenol. I can go to my next appointment. And then I would remember the sound that the injury made. And it was a horrible sound. And immediately, I would go back into a higher state of suffering. And I would circle back around, do my coursework on it. So that was just the other day. I have this power now. with my mind. And that's some of
the most problem and the longest is old memories, ones that happened when I was younger or sometime.
Yes.
And those I can remember, and then I have to work on them.
Yes. Whatever you can remember is present. You say it's old, but it's not actually old.
I know. It's about something that long time ago, but since there's no time.
But you wouldn't fix it back then. And sometimes, you know, the ego says, since it happened so long ago, there's nothing you can do about it. Not true. Right? Not true. Now, it's that section that you're reading in chapter 28, the present memory. Mm-hmm. And it illustrates the fallacy that memories have power over you. They are in the present. Present memory. Mm-hmm. All right, so let's get some empowerment going on now. Let's get some awakening going on now. To what power do you have for your freedom? Turn to page 456 in the text. It's chapter 21. It's called The Function of Reason. We read through the paragraphs last week, I think. Yeah, I'm pretty sure we did. So we can dig into the first paragraph tonight. Last couple of meetings we've had so much lively discussion, we haven't got to our actual reading. So tonight we'll read the paragraph first. So Emily, if you would, I got your mute. Text page 456, paragraph 1.
Function of reason. Perception selects and makes the world you see. It literally picks it out as the mind directs. The laws of size and shape and brightness would hold, perhaps, if other things were equal. They are not equal. For what you look for, you are far more likely to discover than what you would prefer to overlook. The still, small voice for God is not drowned out by all the ego's raucous screams and senseless ravings to those who want to hear it. Perception, that was a capital it, perception is a choice and not a fact. But on this choice depends far more than you may realize as yet. For on the voice you choose to hear and on the sights you choose to see depends entirely your whole belief in what you are. Perception is a witness but to this and never to reality. Yet it can show you the conditions in which awareness of reality is possible for those where it could never be.
Thank you. Loaded paragraph. Mm-hmm. What is perception? Just kind of a simple description. Dictionary style. Anybody want to hazard that out? What does perception mean? If you were telling a 12-year-old, what would you say? Sundari, teacher, Professor Denby, what does perception mean?
Where you put your attention.
What else? How would you describe perception? Luann?
I would say it's how you interpret what you're seeing.
How you interpret what you're seeing. Anybody else want to throw in any obvious? Jason, what do you got? I got your mute. Go ahead.
It's judgment.
It's a judgment.
Perception is judgment.
It really is. It has to be. Yeah. What else you got? What would you just say if some 12-year-old said, what is this P word? What does perception mean? Ross?
Well, there's perceiving with the senses.
Yes.
Perceiving with your eyes, your ears, your smell, your taste, your touch.
Yes.
So,
yes, and what does that mean? You're using the word to describe it. So the 12-year-old's like, perceiving, what's perceive?
The body.
You absolutely, that's practical for the 12-year-old. You give them a practical example. Well, if you smell the cookies, you're perceiving the cookies. He says, yeah, but what does it mean? We have to, this is a very powerful word in A Course in Miracles, by the way. Perception is root to separation. That's why I'm spending so much time on it right now. So I want to get everybody in the right room, right frame of mind.
Well, if you're taking a shower, you're perceiving water, but water is a word that's man-made. So really, what are you perceiving?
What's happening when you perceive the water? What's happening? Literally, Jason, what's happening? How do you know it's water and not gravel?
Oh.
A decision.
Well, through my past and education.
You comparing it to your past when you discovered water? And water's present again.
Right.
Somehow, you have sensed, you become aware and decided it exists. Therefore, it's showing you what's real now. Water. This is, seems, what?
In a sense, perception's habit.
It becomes a huge habit. Absolutely. How could you get along without perception?
And how do you know that it changes all the time?
Well, you don't even think about it. You just wait for it to happen and then say, oh, it's cold. Oh, it's warm. You don't look for cold and then change your mind and look for warm. You see, it's so integrated into, keyword now, ready? Consciousness. Mm-hmm. Sundari.
Well, this whole first paragraph, I was thinking of a movie I've seen. And every other movie I've ever seen equalizes everything because the camera is just looking equally at everything. But this particular movie goes through people's perceptions. And so it follows each character, what they're looking at, what's important to what they're pulling out of the scene. And it's so fascinating. It's called To the Wonder. Mm. Ben Affleck's in it, and he doesn't have a word in it.
Really?
Every time they go into interactions between people, you'll get a few words, and then it'll just go into the acting without the words, which is exquisitely interesting.
That's interesting.
To really watch the character's perception of everything.
That sounds intriguing. Would you type that into the chat? That sounds intriguing. There was also some murder mystery show that had, I don't know, 8 episodes or whatever. And each episode was a different person involved in the crime. So first you had the police officer, you know, chasing down the criminal. And the next episode was a criminal being chased by the police officer. And then you had the person who was assaulted going about their day and being assaulted by the criminal. But it actually wasn't an assault. It was an accident, and on and on. And the whole thing just unfolds as you perceive from a different. Yeah. It's an interesting concept.
It's kind of like the story about the person who dressed up as a gorilla and ran across the floor in a basketball game, and nobody saw him.
Yep, right. Right, mm-hmm. Typical. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So perception turns out to be quite selective based on to what you are focused or sensitive. Now, I said a moment ago that the key aspect to this perception thing that you probably don't even question, you just do it, is consciousness. Real quick, hold your finger here. We're coming back. Turn to page 42, paragraph 2. Well, I think it's paragraph 4, actually, but let's see. No, it's paragraph 2. This is Course in Miracles Metaphysics. I've never seen it anyplace else. In fact, this shows you how you really have to learn A Course in Miracles use of the words. Some of these, about 20 or so, there's multi-syllable words that you really have to appreciate are not like the ones in the dictionary. Like consciousness is one we're going to look at in a moment here. You really have to say, what do you mean by consciousness before you assume you know what A Course in Miracles is saying? If it explained in the depth that we would need to, this book would be so much bigger every time it used the terms. So Jesus held it off at around 1,300 pages, says, well, you figure it out. Here we are, figuring it out. Here's what I mean. Go ahead. Don, would you read for us paragraph 2 on page 42?
Yes. Consciousness, the level of perception, was the first split introduced into the mind after the separation, making the mind a perceiver rather than a creator. Consciousness is correctly identified as the domain of the ego. The ego is a wrong-minded attempt to perceive yourself as you wish to be rather than as you are. Yet you can know yourself only as you are, because that is all you can be sure of. Everything else is open to question.
Wow. And then, Luann, would you read that exact same paragraph? I got your mute, so that Don can really soak it up. Read it back to Don, because he was busy doing a great job reading it.
He did. Consciousness, the level of perception, was the first split introduced into the mind after the separation, making the mind a perceiver rather than a creator. Consciousness is correctly identified, as the domain of the ego. The ego is a wrong-minded attempt to perceive yourself as you wish to be rather than as you are. Yet you can know yourself only as you are, because that is all you can be sure of. Everything else is open to question.
Thank you.
My mother and father used to tell me I couldn't sing, and when my mother was about 80 years old, I was driving over the hill from San Jose, and I was singing along with Neil Diamond, which is a range what I can do really well. And she was sitting there listening to me sing, and she looked at me and said, "You can sing."
Thank God we got that out before she died.
Yeah. Well, she died for another 17 years.
Consciousness, the level of perception. Those are fighting words for people who have built their spiritual path on being more conscious.
That's also fighting words for people who have built everything they think on science.
Yeah. You have to really understand what it means. And you get there. If you don't fight with the book, you start to understand. You could use the word awareness in place of consciousness, and you can start to understand what the book means by it. You can't just fight immediately because you spent 15 years with other spiritual programs learning about how to be more conscious. So, but when it says the level of perception, that's getting really particular. Remember,
it reminds me of those people who have memory about everything they see and hear. For some reason, their brains are kind of quirky.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's crazy. Well, that's wild stuff. Yeah. That is wild stuff.
What did you say, Luann?
Mimetic memory. There are people who remember everything.
Oh.
They just like it was yesterday. Mm-hmm. They're autistic. It's a type of autism, I think, at least it presents like that. They could tell you what they had for breakfast 16 years ago on a Monday, and then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday in a row. They could tell you what they watched on TV. They remember everything. How's that possible? It just goes to show there's way more available than you could possibly realize. You've limited yourself a lot to being your current position. But this is a big one here. Consciousness, the level of perception. Remember, this perception thing is key to the separation and to your witnessing your ability to be alone and separate. This perception thing. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just that you are so already drunk and addicted on perception being life that you just wait for life to happen by perceiving. Ross, what do you got?
What's that quote? It goes something like, there's nothing more deceptive than the perception of form. That's a word, but that's pretty much what it means.
Oh, no, you got it almost word for word. Hold your finger here. I like to go there. This is more for me to keep remembering the pages because Ross really said it. Ross said it perfectly. But you know what ties perfectly into what we're studying? That's a good paragraph. And it's on page 476, paragraph 6. Okay, 476, paragraph 6, the top of the page.
Yeah.
Okay, now.
Seven.
Yeah. It's paragraph, you know, right at the end of the paragraph is this sentence that Ross pulled out for us. Nothing's so blinding as a perception of form. For sight of form means understanding has been obscured. Sight of form would be perception, right?
Yeah.
You don't question your sight normally. You need to start questioning it now in order for you to move to the next level, to your spiritual awareness. You really are going to have to somehow disconnect from being a victim to your own sight and your own feelings, your own memories, everything about that you've assumed about the world. You will have to find a way to transcend that, and I'll tell you, it's not as hard as you think because it's an undoing. Done.
What lessons 1 through 7 are about.
Yes.
So, in the incident that I described, coming off of having just studied the course with my wife, Michelle, I did notice some thoughts going on in my head that were contentious.
Uh-huh.
That were judgments and conclusions that were, blinding about, that were, anyway, I just realized that the basis for, I don't know why I have those thoughts or whether I have those judgments, but they were there. I saw them coming.
Yep.
I saw them coming. Okay, thank you.
So you saw them coming, and they come, like something you would learn to duck.
Yeah.
A 2x4 with a nail sticking out of the end is coming right at you. Duck, Don.
Duck.
Just miss that.
I got to get into the spirit. I mean, I got to move.
Yep.
You know, let go and invite.
You bet. And so what you might do to undo is pick up a practice, because these things come at you very strong. You have some chemicals in your particular makeup that help it happen. And so when you start to see this 2x4 coming, these thoughts of anger, thoughts of judgment, thoughts of so forth, you need to pick up a quick and ready practice. You pick it. I can suggest a few. People here might jump in and give you if they have them themselves. But you know, it could be as simple as stopping and taking a large breath or count to 10. Literally, you force yourself, okay, wait a minute, I'm going to really let her have it. But first, I'm going to count to 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You know, you're not even halfway yet, but this gap, seriously, you know, so that or breath, you know, if you can do this, it will mitigate and eventually allow you to actually choose. You don't have the choice right now. Probably comes up so fast and hard that you're in trouble and it's all over the walls. Yeah.
Well, there's a whole biochemical thing going on because I could sit and did just the other night, sit in a chair, totally depressed, feeling energy going around in my skull. All of a sudden I start feeling without thought, just feeling happy and content. Mm-hmm. And then cherishing that. And then 5 minutes later, going another way with no appearance.
Yes. Yeah, this is your path, Don.
Yeah, it is. I'm catching on, you know, like, okay, you can be a victim of it. And right now I seem to be.
Uh-huh.
But I also can learn. I don't know. I can learn. I can.
You can, you can accept that this is your path.
Yeah.
Unless you're not sure yet. Unless you're not convinced that these waves come over you. But I think you are. You're quite sure.
Yeah.
And so your awakening will include the step of accepting that this is your path and it's not a mistake.
Yeah.
It's fundamental. Jason, same for you. You did this. You have done this. You have done this. Yeah, it's the key. You see, if you keep thinking it's supposed to be different, and then once it changes somehow, then you'll be happy and free. You're completely missing the inevitable nature there of your chosen life. The Anthony DeMello. Wonderful East meets West guy. And one of his quotes from his that I love is, he says, enlightenment is when you learn to trust the inevitable. Did you get that? Trust the inevitable. Do you see the circle? Do you see the cooperation with what's going to happen anyway? Do you see how sane that is? He says this is enlightenment. When you learn to trust the inevitable.
So, Andrew, this is hard because, you know, I have had suicidal ideation.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Are you saying that's inevitable?
Yes. You having suicidal ideations is inevitable. They're inevitable. And so this is something you're going to trust that's going to happen. It's just like, there are criminals that will break your window of your car and steal whatever's on the seat. It's inevitable. You can't. I mean, it is. Let's turn.
Are you saying the ideation is inevitable?
Yeah, it's going to happen again and again. It'll happen less and less. And you'll start laughing about it one day if you continue to do your coursework.
Okay.
Yeah. 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 Because the idea... one of the awakenings that comes with A Course in Miracles is the idea that if you did kill the body, this would seal the deal. You would keep your ego now with one less tool to get rid of it. It says now the ego, the body is the perfect tool now to take you back up the staircase that you winded down to get away from truth. The body now, the same thing that got you into the mess will get you out of the mess. As the Holy Spirit now works through this thing that you trust so closely to be real. Fine, let's use that. That's what A Course in Miracles does. If you were to commit suicide, now you'd be stuck with your stinking thinking in a dimension where you could idolize it even more. You are not your body, Don. And you are this set of thoughts that has now tried to separate off from oneness and all of the beauty and completeness that we would call God. Congratulations, by the way, you did it. I don't think you could even draw a picture of God. You know my joke around that.
No.
You're just separate. You did it. You really think that if you killed yourself, then the suffering would disappear.
No, I don't.
Good.
No.
Good. Good. Jacqueline?
Well, when you said that, not that I feel like I'm enlightened, but trust the inevitable to me when you said that, because after my meltdown last week, just had a total meltdown about everything, and you know, I kind of came around to, well, you know, this whole thing about, well, if I'm with God, you know, why am, it's almost like, why do I have to have this experience if I'm one with God? But then I may not be able to undo everything this lifetime, but trusting the inevitable is trusting the inevitable that I am one with God and will awaken to being one with God. So that was the inevitable I heard you just saying about trust the inevitable.
Absolutely correct.
So that was kind of sort of took the some of the pressure and stress off in a way to just, you know, come to class, do the lessons, watch my thoughts, you know, do I trust the inevitable. Well, I will awaken and I am one with God.
Yes. You're at home dreaming of exile.
And those are all words, but there was something in it, you know, that was kind of deeper for me. Just.
Yes.
You know what I mean? We can say all things, but I had a sense of that. Now, you know, 3 months from now, hopefully I'll still have that sense. I don't know. Things seem to shift.
Are you guys following her? She's trying to put words around an experience, and it gets really hard.
Yeah.
But she had an experience, a openness, a holy instant. Sure, the words were kind of a trigger after her episode, and she thought, wait a minute. And she had a sense of awareness that washed over her, gave her a sense of freedom, and it lowered her stress because it felt like the truth. The words will fail everywhere, but this is a spiritual awakening. It's a step on the spiritual path. It's what they feel like. And nobody can take that away from her. She can take it. She can deny it, especially if she tries to talk about it too much and you start to even doubt that what it meant. No, don't worry about it. You really can't take away these things as you increment yourself back, as you wake up and wake up out of something that is an illusion. You being a body is an illusion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you're waking up from it. And so what happens is you dismantle kindly. You're dismantling the illusion one bit by bit. The Course says you could do it absolutely instantly, but because of how deeply addicted you are, it would bring fear. And that's the opposite of the curriculum. So most likely for most people, you will unwind what you wound. You will go back up the staircase you came down. And that's exactly what we're doing here, studying A Course in Miracles gently, but specifically and continuously peeling back this nightmare. Ross.
So Haji Ashanti said one time, you know, this guy was like, well, you know, maybe I should just sit and meditate. And he says, well, no, wait a minute. There's nothing wrong with doing what you like and enjoy. You can learn your lessons doing what you like and enjoy, and especially getting around other people. It's very valuable, but there's no reason to punish yourself because you're not enlightened yet. Just go out and do what you want to do and have fun with it, but keep in the back of your mind, oh, this is a holy encounter. Oh, this is a lesson, because everything you do can be that choice for the Holy Spirit, let's say. Mm-hmm. So have a happy dream. And while you're having the happy dream, I mean, as happy as possible, of course, we have to do things to prevent the dream from becoming a nightmare, you have to pay your bills, your taxes, and maintain your car, this, that, and the other thing, eat, sleep, you know, things like that. But other than that, just have a nice, happy dream, but keep in the back of your mind, okay, I have a choice. Am I listening to the Holy Spirit or the ego while you're enjoying this dream? At least that's what I've come to, because I kind of feel what you were saying, Jacqueline, is that at one point I was like, well, if I'm already what I'm seeking, why am I seeking? So I kind of like, stopped seeking, and it wasn't a good idea because I stopped being vigilant against the ego. So be vigilant against the ego, but don't not have fun. So anyway, that's my two cents.
Good. Yeah, you bet. It's a faster program for you to live your life and become more vigilant of choosing peace along the way than it is to go sit in a cave. Both methods will work. But it's a faster, more thorough, and alive program. See, for you to actually go into meditation and live that way, you know, as a monk, for most people, that's really would be kind of a definition of death. You'd be trying to kill yourself, you know, and while you're still breathing. And then, sure, you isolate into a cave and you just got a bowl of rice and manage every couple of days to even get somebody to bring that to you so you don't have to go out and get that. And yeah, you can be really peaceful and dead. Not alive, but you are life itself. Your job, your function is a manifestation of life itself. Not living. Living is not your function, but I won't confuse you with that distinction right now. Just know. Yeah, I like what Ross said, and that there's no reason that you would need to go into a cave. You probably need to go still. You really do need to spend time on the clock stepping out of your life. You do need to do that. And then you step back into your life with this light that you have picked up from being still for a moment. I'm doing the lesson especially. A Course in Miracles will have you be still while you do the lesson and then will inject into you a corrective thinking that you can carry throughout the day. Wow, that's what I want. It's really hard to do it on your own. You could. You don't need the book. Because with desperation, enough desperation, you will heal. You will awaken. This is a lot faster to have Jesus, who has gone before you with your own particular issue, separation, and has awoken. He says, look, I'm going to write this down. I'm going to give it to you. And you could be guided. This is your guide. You've already got the hunger. You've already made the choice to have a spiritual identity reawoken. And then move on to that so that you can express joy, sharing, creativity, even the things that you came here originally to do, you could do freely if you're not so afraid, so vulnerable, so limited. And so you're on the path. You're on the path to awaken. This perception thing, though, it goes completely unchallenged. It's just, you think that's what life is, living, because it, you know, it's entertainment and it's threats and it's the news and it's how does somebody feel? Your loved one, how do they feel? Well, give me a chance to perceive it and then I'll tell you. Look, that's fine if you leave it at the level it belongs, the world. Back to page 42, please. Paragraph 2. We got to open up this perception thing before we can understand what's coming in our section. We're working for the next couple of weeks. 42 in the text, paragraph 2 says, consciousness, the level of perception. I told you those are fighting words. But this is A Course in Miracles, and he's up for a good fight. No doubt. You really are in a battle with your ego. You really are in a battle. it turns out it's kind of a, it doesn't really exist. It's a ghostly, it's a shadow figure, a set of beliefs that aren't true. And so it's, this is a battle you will win. So consciousness, the level of perception, was the first split introduced into the mind after the separation. So if you're wondering what happened and when, there it is, one sentence. Just handed to you. Can't you feel the truth of that sentence? You who are one, if there's one mind. Consciousness, the level of perception, was the first split introduced into the mind after the separation, making the mind, you ready for a verb? A perceiver. Oh, busy, busy, busy. Make your mind a perceiver rather than a creator. Making the mind a victim rather than a source. A perceiver rather than a creator. Sundari, what do you got? Oop.
There.
She's back.
I'm back. I'm here. I'm gone. Okay. So, which is kind of like perception.
Yeah.
I'm sitting here, thinking how I think about consciousness different, or perhaps awareness, or the innate sense of I.
Yep.
And when they're saying consciousness, the level of perception, mm-hmm. are they still allowing consciousness to refer to something way more basic? The just innate I-ness. Do you separate awareness and consciousness, or do you have some other term for beingness, which I see is not the level of perception? And I'm not quite sure if they're taking the word consciousness and saying we're just talking about this part of it, or if in my mind, consciousness, awareness, I-ness are the same, but consciousness through the body, the senses, is another thing.
Right, that's correct.
Okay.
Yeah, no, you got it. We're just using the level at which we're working with A Course in Miracles. Course in Miracles does not deal with being. The Course in Miracles does not even deal with love. Did you know that? It doesn't deal with what innately you already are, and you are completely. It deals with your mistake. It deals with the blocks you have placed between yourself and love. It doesn't need to deal with love. You don't need to deal with love. What's the worth? What's the need of going and seeking being when you are? Let's look at the blocks between your awareness of being, and that's what A Course in Miracles is. So good, Sundari, and good way to phrase it. Yep, you got it. You got it. And you can spend a lot of time talking at these higher levels, but unless you've gotten off your drug of separation, you will drop right back into the gutter and take your drug the next day. A separation. Blocks to the awareness of being. Blocks to the awareness of love and oneness. Well, just return, because you didn't even look at them. You kept your habit of ego. You can, like I say, discuss in the higher levels, but it's hard to own. And sometimes you can actually have awakenings at higher levels that you can't own. In other words, you can't live in them. You can't abide. You can't trust them, because your first love is still in place. The separated, selfish, vulnerable ego. So let's remove the blocks to awareness of love's presence, and the rest flows automatically like wind through an open window. Just nothing in the way. So, paragraph 2 again on page 42, sentence 2, consciousness is correctly identified as the domain of the ego. consciousness now, consciousness, the verb, really, and Sundari was pointing to, was more of a consciousness, the noun, you know, being. You don't change that. It's what you are. But you've picked up this separation game where it's, you know, you versus this interaction game of separation. And this has now become too exaggerated in your mind. This is what we're going to give you a chance to choose when we get to our section, you know, our reason and perception discussion. Luann.
I think I'm unmuted.
Yeah.
If you read the first sentence, I think that's where the I comes into. Consciousness, the perception, was the first split introduced. And so when we split, that's when the I was created, but we weren't conscious of it until we had perception, which was, you know, maybe the day we were born or even before that.
Yeah, you started to prove it to yourself and witness to yourself that your dream is true with perception.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think it's the I comes first, and then the perception of the I comes.
Absolutely.
Afterwards.
Yeah, right? There's no problem with the I. There's no problem with the I and I am, and there's no problem with that. What happened was I am the body. Now that's a problem. It's not true.
I, kind of, huh? I. Don't you think that's kind of a different,
yeah,
it's part of the perception part of knowing you have an I versus knowing that all I really am is not separated.
It is not a mutually exclusive proposition. The I, perhaps the highest I that you can allow, is an all-inclusive I. It's the largest thought you can have. Or in the hands of the ego, it's a very selfish, smallest thought you can have. Same thing, I. So the I am can really put you in a box or can free you. You're dealing with now, what we're dealing now with the Course in Miracles is perception, it leads to guilt. We don't have to go in this to this special key word in understanding a Course in Miracles. But for those of you who are already there, maybe that satisfied you. Your consciousness that affords guilt. Do you see? A consciousness that affords harm. Do you see? A consciousness that affords you versus another. Do you see? A consciousness that affords vulnerability. Do you get it? This is sickness. This is what a Course calls sickness. It's impossible. You know, a oneness unified as one is the truth. You do not have to stop existing. You do not have to stop existing to become part of the one. You do not have to stop existing to recognize yourself as part of the one. You do not have to disappear. You do have to make a correction that you are pinched off and somehow separate from the one. That's what you must do. And you will. It's inevitable. It's inevitable. Remember, the key to enlightenment, says Anthony DeMello, is trust the inevitable, as Jacqueline stated for us. Oh, yeah. She says, you know what? The truth is, I am connected and I can't change it. Oh, good. She went right to sleep. Yes, Emily.
When you said trust the inevitable, what came up for me was the sense of our essence is sacred, and to trust that always, and not to, you know, like we get taught, well, I got taught, you know, that we were born in sin, but what I like to think is I was born sacred.
Yes.
And that, you know, there's no one that's going to save me, you know, in that sense. Like I was also taught Jesus was going to save me. But I'm feeling from what trust tells me is that I'm already saved.
That's right. You don't need saving. You were never actually lost. Right. You're having a dream of being lost, but the dream is not real. Quick, page 101, paragraph 6. I think we can drop this page now. Yes, we can. So 101, paragraph 6 for Emily. Before we get back to our paragraph tonight, one of my favorite paragraphs in the whole book, because it says, what happened? What is going on here? And he says, well, here you go. I'll tell you what's going on here.
What was the page number?
It's page 101 in the text, paragraph 6. If you've been in my classes, you got this one highlighted. Paragraph 6, I'll just read the pertinent sentences for efficiency because we're running a little short on time. It says, here then, the one answer of the Holy Spirit to all the questions the ego raises. He clears his throat. Well, you are a child of God, a priceless part of his kingdom, which he created as part of him. Now, that's the truth. Yeah, I know. That's what you keep promising me. But what the hell's going on? How can I possibly be unhappy if I'm part of God? Well, hang on. He says, nothing else exists and only this is real. Okay, fine. But I still have, problems. Here it goes. All right. You see, what's going on is sentence 3. You have chosen, keyword chosen, one who chooses is not a victim. You've used your creative powers to dream. You have chosen a sleep. First, you had to make a sleep where you could have dreams. You did that. No problem. But you made that sleep in which you have had bad dreams, comma. But hey, the sleep is not real and God calls you to awake, period. That's what happened. That's what's happening, and that's what's going to happen, and that's what the whole thing is, period. So that's right, Emily. You don't need saving. You're just sleeping.
But I forget.
You do, because you're busy dreaming. It's fun to dream. You made dreaming. You're having a blast. If you could only see from the perspective of Jesus, you're just playing and you're having a blast. It's caught you up. Sometimes you get caught up in the negativity and you try to make something out of nothing with your creative power. And it's very frustrating. So, there's no need to delay joy. So for that reason, we do have angels and we do have awakenings. You do have spiritual awakenings and healing of your mind. Keeping your sense of you, though. I just want you to make sure that you don't think you have to disappear. You cannot disappear. Your body, yeah. You have to wake up from that. You will. But there's something else going on here that you have accomplished also that's really quite wonderful. We won't go into that because it's not specifically Course in Miracles. So, good. So now, with our few minutes, let's go back to page 456. Oh, you know what? So open 456, because if we had enough time, we'll come back to more of it. But it's time for us to go to the key page at 448. 448. Because now, remember, we're talking about perception. You know what? I think we're way better off going to another paragraph that hits it even better. No, 448 is better. Okay. 448. Correct that. 445. 445, paragraph 1. And Jason, are you reading? I got your mute.
Okay. Never forget the world.
Wait, I've changed so many pages. I'm sorry. It's page 445. 445, paragraph 1, introduction.
Projection makes perception.
Bingo. Okay. Top of the page.
The world you see is what you gave it. Nothing more than that. But though it is not more than that, it is not less. Therefore, to you, it is important. It is the witness to your state of mind, the outside picture of an inward condition.
If you're wondering what's going on here, we just read this wonderful, you've made a sleep in which you've had bad dreams. He's following up. He's describing, he says, you know, in your sleep, you're picturing an outside world.
Yeah.
Please continue, Jason.
As a man thinketh, so does he perceive. Therefore, seek not to change the world, but to change the mind about the world. Perception is a result and not a cause. And that is why order of difficulty in miracles is meaningless. Everything looked upon with vision is...
Because stable. All difficulties have the same cause. You don't have a problem unless you perceive you have a problem, and all perception has the same cause. See how the root comes right back to you, and depreciation of your power is being described for you by this book. Please continue.
Yeah, everything looked upon with vision is healed and holy. Nothing perceived without it means anything. And where there is no meaning, there is chaos.
Jacqueline, I got your meat. Would you read for us paragraph 2?
Damnation is your judgment on yourself, and this you will project upon the world. See it as damned, and all you see is what you did to hurt the Son of God. If you behold disaster and catastrophe, you tried to crucify him. If you see holiness and hope, you join the will of God to set him free. There is no choice that lies between these two decisions. And you will see the witness to the choice you made and learn from this to recognize which one you chose. The world you see but shows you how much joy you have allowed yourself to see in you and to accept as yours. And if this is its meaning, then the power to give it joy must lie within you.
Pretty powerful stuff. This is the power of your mind. You will live your thoughts. You will live your thoughts. You're seeking for something that's true. That's true. Just look at your life. You have been living your thoughts. And you will live your next thought. It does not happen to you. Okay, now, with our few moments left, let's go back to page 456, our proper reading for the night. Deborah, I got your mute. Would you read for us paragraph 1 on 456?
The function of reason. Perception selects and makes the world you see. It literally picks it out as the mind directs. The law of size and shape and brightness would hold, perhaps, if other things were equal. They are not equal.
They are not equal. Other things are not equal to this illusion that you have artfully, wonderfully put together. Please continue.
For what you look for, you are far more likely to discover than what you would prefer to overlook.
Preferring to overlook would be the truth of unity and the actual connectedness of everything. You can't be properly separate and a victim if you're actually connected. Please continue.
The still small voice of God is not drowned out by all the ego's raucous screams and senseless ravings to those who want to hear it.
And I'm going to have you reread that sentence because your ego jumped in there and did a little Freudian slip, probably.
Oh, what?
Oh, yeah, we all got the same. We all got the same. Read that sentence again a little more carefully.
Okay. The still, small voice for God.
Ah, voice for God. What pops over the lips is voice of God. That would not be Course in Miracles.
Ah, okay.
Please continue.
The still small voice for God is not drowned out by all the ego's raucous screams and senseless ravings to those who want to hear it.
Yes. The voice for God is in your mind, called the Holy Spirit. The voice of God might be out there somewhere else. And you have to hear this voice or have something interrupt you and overcome your ego. No. The voice for God is in the exact same place as your ego. This is really good news. This is how close you are to the solution to freedom. Please continue.
Perception is a choice and not a fact. But on this choice depends far more than you may realize as yet. For on the voice you choose to hear and on the sights you choose to see depends entirely your whole belief in what you are.
Wow! Did you just explain my whole existential solution? Explaining why and how I believe what I am? Could you read that sentence again? It seems really important.
For on the voice you choose to hear and on the sights you choose to see, depends entirely your whole belief in what you are.
So there's already these options to choose. See, there's only two. The ego and the spirit, or love and hate. However you want to divide up this two-sided coin. They exist in your current state. And so which one you choose will demonstrate to you which one you chose. Which one you choose will demonstrate to you which one you chose. You see the circle. You will witness your thinking. You will live your thinking. This is what salvation is in A Course in Miracles, is that you get it. You actually get it, that with thoughts that you have are the thoughts that you live. Makes your life, makes your experience. Then with vigilance, you can go up toward light instead of down toward dark by habit. And that is salvation now, properly speaking, as you enlighten your being by choosing lighter and lighter thinking. Luann.
This is something that I believe is true for me, and I think maybe it would be true for Don. When I'm starting to feel like I have no purpose, I might as well give up, et cetera, or any kind of negative thoughts about myself, and I pick up the book and read something, I'm thinking those thoughts instead, and everything negative goes away.
It washes out. Works for me, too. Or especially in the early days, you know, I could just turn to the book. I could open randomly. I would pick up where my bookmarker was, and I just read it out loud, I found. If I read it quietly, I come in competing with my internal thoughts. But if I read it out loud, within a page or two pages for sure, boy, I would be going, wow, that's a beautiful, amazing concept or sentence. And it would just wash away my little ego petty problems in comparison to the grandeur that's being described here. Thank you, Luann. Absolutely true. True for me anyway. And Don, I hope you're getting some of that energy out of reading the book out loud.
Okay.
I have a small little apartment now, so the book doesn't get lost.
Deborah, did you want to finish?
I do. Perception is a witness, but to this, and never to reality.
Oh my God, there he is, picking at perception again. What is it with this Jesus guy? He's got a real problem with perception that we live by. Oh boy, he's really calling it out. He is calling it out. Read that sentence again, would you, Deborah?
Perception is a witness but to this and never to reality. Yet it can show you the conditions in which awareness of reality is possible or those where it could never be.
Just like what Don described to us. Don described that he chose not to speak and a sense of peace came over him. So he used his wherewithal to choose peace. And then he lived peaceful thoughts and peaceful life for a few moments, showing you the power of your mind. You bet. That's how we walk back up the staircase. Well, we've come to the end of our Course in Miracles. We could really study this paragraph more, but if we did that, we would never get to the next page. So I'm moving my marker, even though there's much more to discuss. But I think we did a good job.
Thank you, Andrew.
You're so welcome. Thank you for studying Course in Miracles with me, Jason, and everybody. Yeah. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, everybody have a nice week. See you again.
Thank you, Andrew.
Good night. Good to see you, Emily. Bye. Come back.
Good night.
Thanks, Jacqueline. See you soon. Bye now. Good night, Ross. Thanks, buddy. Thank you, Dawn.
Thank you.
You're becoming a teacher to all of us.
Thank you.
You're leading the way.